Thursday at 10 o'clock as well.
Now, for more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. Brazil, the gateway to the Amazon. We're at COP30, the UN Climate Summit. This is Democracy Now!
One of the most important things for me for this COP is the action and the solidarity that we are building together as an indigenous leaders and land defenders for different parts of the world. Because we know that the answer is us. We know that we are the lead alternatives. We have the answers and we have the response for all the devastation and the destruction for the climate crisis.
Tens of thousands of people marched in Belém, Brazil, Saturday in an indigenous-led protest calling for leaders at the UN Climate Summit to take action to combat the climate crisis and protect the Amazon. We'll air a report from the streets of Belém, then speak to the heads of Amazon Watch and Oxfam Brazil.
The world needs to understand that Amazon is not only a world, it's a real space that are right now facing consequence.
All that and more coming up. Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Bangladesh's former Prime Minister, Sheikh Hasina, was sentenced to death by a tribunal today for ordering a deadly crackdown on student protesters who successfully toppled her government last year. According to a UN report, 1,400 people were killed, thousands injured after security forces opened fire on demonstrators last year. The verdict came as Hasina has been living in exile in India. Bangladesh has been rocked by 30 bomb explosions and dozens of arson attacks over the past few days in the lead up to the verdict. This comes as Bangladesh is expected to hold parliamentary elections in February next year. In Gaza, Israeli forces have killed at least three Palestinians as Israel continues to violate the U.S. brokered ceasefire. Since the start of the truce October 10th, at least 266 Palestinians have been killed, 635 wounded by Israeli attacks. Physicians for Human Rights Israel is reporting at least 98 Palestinians have died in Israeli custody since October 2023. And that the real death toll is likely much higher because hundreds of people detained in Gaza are still missing. Meanwhile, UNICEF estimates more than 600,000 Palestinian children have missed out on school during the Israeli assault on Gaza, and only 100,000 have managed to return to classrooms. Humanitarian NGOs say Israel is still restricting the entry of food aid and other critical supplies into the Gaza Strip. This is Zahia Al-Shambari, who waited in line to buy bread in Khan Yunis.
After 2 hours of struggle at the supermarket to get a bag of bread, thank God I finally got one bag of bread for about 8 people. I'm really happy that I'm returning with a bag of bread, and I hope this suffering doesn't happen again. Not today, not tomorrow, not any other day.
This comes as the UN Security Council set to vote today on a U.S. proposal to establish an international stabilization force to enforce the Gaza ceasefire. The U.S. drafted resolution also mentions the possibility of a future Palestinian state. But on Sunday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu outright rejected any path for Palestinian statehood.
Our opposition to a Palestinian state in any territory west of the Jordan River, this opposition exists, is valid, and has not changed one bit. I have been rebuffing these attempts for decades, and I am doing it both against pressure from outside and against pressure from within. So I do not need affirmations, tweets, or lectures from anyone.
Meanwhile, new details are emerging about a shadowy organization called Al-Majd Europe that's been taking Palestinians in Gaza to South Africa. The organization reportedly has ties to Israel. Last week, a chartered plane carrying 153 Palestinians landed in Johannesburg. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said, quote, "It does seem likely they were being flushed out of Gaza." President Trump said Sunday he is open to talks with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro as he considers whether to launch a unilateral attack on Venezuela. In brief remarks to reporters, Trump did not offer details about the possible discussions, but said, quote, "Venezuela would like to talk." Trump's remarks came as Secretary of State Marco Rubio designated the organized criminal group Cartel de los Soles as a foreign terrorist organization. U.S. officials have claimed without evidence Maduro and other government officials lead the cartel. Trump has claimed that allows the Pentagon to target Maduro's assets and infrastructure inside Venezuela. Meanwhile, the Pentagon said it had killed another three people in the Eastern Pacific accused of smuggling drugs by sea, though officials offered no evidence. This brings the reported toll to 83 people killed across 21 strikes since early September. This comes amidst the largest buildup of U.S. forces in the Caribbean since the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, involving nearly a dozen Navy ships and about 15,000 sailors and Marines. In Caracas, President Nicolas Maduro warned the U.S. public against allowing the Trump administration to lead the U.S. into a new forever war in South America.
Queremos otra Gaza ahora en Sudamérica.
Do we want another Gaza now in South America? What does the people of the United States say? Do you want a new Afghanistan? Do you want Vietnam again? Do you want Libya once more or worse? Do you want a new Gaza in South America?
In Sudamerica? Déjeme decirle que no.
Let me tell you, no, no, and no. Here peace will triumph. International law will triumph.
El derecho internacional.
In Brazil, tens of thousands of protesters marched outside the COP30 climate summit in Belém on Saturday to demand urgent action on the climate, including the rapid phase-out of fossil fuels. The Great People's March was the first major protest of its kind in 4 years after authorities in Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, and Azerbaijan banned large-scale demonstrations at prior UN climate summits. This is indigenous protester Christiane Puyanawa.
We are here today at the Global Climate March. Women, youths, indigenous people, riverine communities, and Quilombolas are united to demand social justice and the demarcation of indigenous lands. Our land and our forests are not commodities. Respect nature and the people who live in the forest. Demarcation now.
We'll have more from Saturday's protests and the action inside the COP30 climate summit here in Belém, Brazil, after headlines. Masked federal immigration officers fanned out across Charlotte, North Carolina over the weekend, sparking protests as the Trump administration shifted its mass deportation campaign to North Carolina's largest city. Democratic Governor Josh Stein said the agents were carrying out racial profiling and stoking fear.
We've seen masked, heavily armed agents in paramilitary garb driving unmarked cars, targeting American citizens based on their skin color, racially profiling and picking up random people in parking lots and off of our sidewalks.
Among those targeted were landscapers decorating Christmas trees and congregants of an East Charlotte church volunteering to tend a garden. In another incident shared widely on social media, masked federal agents pulled over. Willie Wender Aceituna Medina, a Honduras-born U.S. citizen, and forced him from his vehicle.
No. Usted me lo quiebra. Usted me lo paga.
No, if you break it, you will pay for it. If you break it, you will pay for it. If you break my window.
¿Por qué hizo eso, señor?
Why did you do this, sir? Why are you doing this?
Aceituna told reporters he warned the agents he was a U.S. citizen, but that they didn't believe him. He suffered cuts to his arm and neck. He later filed a police report over the broken glass. President Trump's called on House Republicans to approve a measure compelling the Justice Department to release the Epstein files. Trump's reversal late Sunday came after he unsuccessfully lobbied Republican Congresswomen Lauren Boebert and Nancy Mace to remove their names from a discharge petition seeking the files' release. This follows months of stonewalling by the Trump administration over the files' release, and after Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson adjourned the House early to prevent a vote on the Epstein files. On Friday, Trump demanded the Justice Department investigate a list of powerful Democrats discussed in a trove of newly released emails from Jeffrey Epstein, but omitted his own name. The list includes former President Bill Clinton, former Treasury Secretary and former Harvard President Larry Summers, and Democratic donor Reid Hoffman. Trump wrote on social media, quote, Epstein was a Democrat, and he's the Democrats' problem, not the Republicans' problem, the president said. The Georgia election interference case against President Trump and his allies will now have a new prosecutor after Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis was removed from the case. The executive director of the Prosecuting Attorneys Council of Georgia, Speet Skandalakis, is set to take over the case. Georgia State University law professor Anthony Michael Kreis told the Associated Press, quote, I doubt anything will ever move forward with the president, unquote. But the case could proceed against 14 other Trump allies, including former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani and former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Trump's pardon, Giuliani, Meadows, and dozens of other Republican officials and activists accused of helping him overturn the results of the 2020 election. But the pardons only apply to federal cases, not the Georgia election interference case, which is a state-level prosecution. In the Philippines, hundreds of thousands of demonstrators took to the streets Sunday to demand accountability over a corruption scandal that exposed how top government officials were receiving kickbacks from construction companies responsible for faulty and incomplete flood defense projects. The three-day protest rally comes after typhoons battered the Philippines early this month, leaving at least 259 people dead.
Almost for 100 araw na yung proseso.
Almost 100 days has passed since the process began, yet no one has been jailed. There already is plenty of proof. A lot of evidence has come out. But our question is, how come no one has been jailed yet?
In the Democratic Republic of Congo, at least 32 people were killed after a bridge at a copper and cobalt mine collapsed due to overcrowding. A government agency report said gunfire from soldiers at the site sparked panic among the miners who rushed to the bridge, causing it to collapse. The DRC is the world's largest producer of cobalt, which is used to make batteries for electric vehicles. A BBC investigation has uncovered new evidence that implicates two U.S. Marines in the killing of Iraqi civilians in Haditha two decades ago. The BBC reports statements and testimony given in the aftermath of the Haditha massacre raised doubts about the investigation into what happened November 19, 2005, when U.S. forces slaughtered 24 Iraqis, posing significant questions over how U.S. armed forces are held to account. Just one U.S. soldier was convicted of a crime over the massacre. Marine Staff Sergeant Frank Wooderich was found guilty of negligent dereliction of duty in 2012 and served no jail time. And disability rights advocate and writer Alice Wong has died at the age of 51. When Wong was born with muscular dystrophy in 1974, doctors said she wouldn't live to the age of 18. Despite that prognosis, Wong went on to earn an undergraduate degree at Indiana University and a master's degree from the University of California, San Francisco, before founding the Disability Visibility Project, an online community dedicated to creating, sharing, and amplifying disability media and culture. This is Alice Wong speaking with Democracy Now! In 2021.
I think a lot of people in the public do not know what ableism is, and if they hear about it, they actually deny that it exists. You know, ableism is systemic, and it's really bound up with hypergamblism and white supremacy.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We're broadcasting from the UN Climate Summit, that's COP30, from the Brazilian city of Belém. It's the gateway to the Amazon. Leaders and delegates from more than 190 countries have entered a second week of negotiations. On Saturday, Democracy Now! Is in the streets of Belém as tens of thousands of protesters gathered demanding urgent climate action. The Great People's March was the first major climate protest at a UN climate summit since 2021. The three previous climate summits were hosted by nations that banned public actions: Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, and Azerbaijan.
In the streets of Belém, where the UN Climate Summit is taking place, we're halfway through the negotiations of COP30. It's a Saturday. Thousands of people have taken to the streets demanding urgent climate action. We spoke to several of them.
My name is Giovanni Del Prete. I'm from Brazil, from São Paulo. I'm here with all the people from more. We have here gathered more than 60 countries here, and we have gathered in UFPA in university, the Rio COP summit here, the people summit in the university here of the state of Pará. We have gathered there 30,000 people that from 60 countries. Here we are denouncing all the false solutions in the COP30. We are saying that the financial market was in the official COP30, and the real people and the real solutions were here. We are here, seen here on the streets. So this is our message to the world. Against the war, against the imperialist invasion, we are seeing U.S. right now just launching a new military attempt against Venezuela, against Colombia, and this is what matters. There is no peace, there is no possibility of environmental solutions with war, with fossil fuels, and this is what we are here. Denouncing, and more than denouncing the problems, but also presenting proposals for life in the peoples, the peasants, the women movement. We have the diversity of all societies here, so this is what we are doing here. Fight for our life.
I am an Amazonian woman. I am an activist in the peasant women's movement, and we are here at the Global March in defense of life, in defense of our territories, and we will not negotiate our rights, because there is no living territory if we are not alive. We will not negotiate our rights.
Okay, I am Lucia Ichu, a Maya Quiche woman from Guatemala. I'm part of the Amazon Flotilla and also Festivales Media in Guatemala. I'm staying the march, supporting indigenous grassroots organizations in Brazil, but also defending and denouncing the ecocide in Guatemala and in the different parts of the continent. I'm also part of the Yakumama Flotilla. We travel for more than 31 days for the Amazon River from Ecuador to Belém, and we see the ecocide there. So for us, it's very important to be here and stand together, because we have to take action together for the environmental issue.
Why is that sense of solidarity so important, especially among indigenous leaders from across the region and around the world?
Well, one of the most important things for me for this COP is the action and the solidarity that we are building together as an indigenous leaders and land defenders for different parts of the world. Because we know that the answer is us. We know that we are the lead alternatives. We have the answers and we have the response for all the devastation and the destruction for the climate crisis. And we are making this together. We know that we have the solutions.
My name is Delma Wellington Jovo from Zimbabwe, a smallholder farmer, a peasant farmer from my country. I'm part of the international movement of La Via Campesina. We are here because as La Via Campesina, we are concerned of the false solutions that you are being given. We are concerned about the power that is still playing in the COP. We feel the power is not equal. People are, the corporate capture of the system has gone high. And so we have come to lend our voice to say this is high time it should stop. People should look at the people first, not at money, not at anything, but just look at the people and the farmers. We are the majority, even in any country. Therefore, we should be considered. That's why we are here.
My name is Edinaldo Rodrigues, da aldeia de Mirijituba, Baixo Tapajós.
My name is Erdinaldo Rodrigues. I am the chief of the Mirijituba village, and the message I want to tell the government is on this banner. It's for them to leave us, the Tapajós, in peace. They take away our food, the food of our children and grandchildren, and that is our territory. That is a sacred place where we must fight until the end of our lives, until we die. For that river, for the stones, for the rock formations, all of that serves as a symbol of our ancestors. That place is a legend to us. And I want to tell the government to look out for us because stop harming us in our region, in our Amazon rainforest.
Our families are dying, our territories are dying, our orders are dying. In our country, we and the nature are the same thing. We are not separate. So our life, our spirituality, our mind, our feeling is totally connected to the rivers. We are the waters, people of the waters, fishmen and fishwomen. Our life is the river. Our life is the ocean. And the ocean and the ocean's animals have no voice. We are the voice of the water animals. And they are dying and crying. And no, that needs to stop and right now.
It's just really important to point out that there's a lot of focus in Amazon, in the forest, but there's also need to focus on the riverine communities, on the quilombola communities, and also in the communities from other areas that are also guardians of our ecosystem. Ecosystems are very important, like the fisher folk in the coast and the fisher folk in the mangroves. So this is the movement that represents them.
Tom Goldtooth from Minnesota, United States, Indigenous Environmental Network. We are a global international network of indigenous people. We're standing here with our relatives from the global south, from the Amazon, to speak with one mind and one voice and one heart. We're demanding that all these fossil fuel lobbyists be removed. It's very unethical and immoral that there's more there than the indigenous people here from the local region. We had indigenous people here who had to fight to get in. But we have these corporations that can just walk right in with no struggle. So we're declaring that the rights of indigenous people be recognized and that there be climate action, real solutions. And we have that as indigenous people.
Denunciar toda la negociación capitalista sobre.
We are here to denounce the capitalist negotiations in the face of the climate crisis, which never manages to fulfill any agreements for controlling greenhouse gas emissions or establishing carbon sinks. Instead, it's pure capitalist business interests with no results. We must insist on mitigation and compensation, as well as adaptation. Climate justice is also necessary, and that implies rights, compensation for the damage caused by the climate crisis inflicted by capitalism and global imperialism. And of course, solidarity with the people of Venezuela, who are being threatened with the use of force by a thug in a red tie and blue suit, but who only wants not freedom, not democracy, not humanitarian aid.
Con corbata roja y traje azul, pero que lo único que quiere no es libertad.
But to plunder the resources, not only of Venezuela, they want to enter the Amazon through Venezuela, and they're coming to seize all of Latin America.
Por Venezuela, pero vienen contra toda Latinoamérica.
Fight for climate justice!
Resist imperialism!
Fight for climate justice!
Resist imperialism!
I'm Rachel Junsai. I'm from the Philippines, and I'm with the People's Rising for Climate Justice. We're marching with the people of Belém today to demand accountability from the world leaders as they attend COP30. As we can see, a lot of wars and occupations has been happening all over the world, from Palestine to Sudan to Congo and other regions, West Papua and even in Asia. And with that, the ongoing ecocide is something that we should not tolerate, something that we should not allow. And so we're here demanding for these world leaders, for these imperialist nations, to stop the U.S.-led wars, to stop their imperialist dominations over these countries, to stop the food blockades, and to stop violating the human rights of those people and the environment. Communities in the Philippines are devastated by flooding and corruption, and those are things that should have been talked about in the COP30, and yet we are seeing false solutions. We are seeing carbon markets that do not do justice to the people. Instead of putting the spotlight on the communities affected by the typhoons, it is the world leaders, it is the global North imperialist nation that are taking up space. That's why the movement is here, to get their space, to demand accountability, and to fight back against these world leaders who are dominating the space that should have been for the people and for the environment.
Why are we on this street today? Can we answer that question, please? We are tired of false solutions. We are tired of corporate capture of the system. We are tired of being slaves in our own countries. I believe the power is in us to say no. As we stand together, let the COP know that we are concerned as peasants. Power to the people.
From the streets of Belém, this is Maria Ines Taracena with Democracy Now!
Voices from the streets of Belém here in Brazil at Saturday's major indigenous-led climate protest outside the UN Climate Summit where we are right now. Special thanks to Maria Taracena, Sam Alcoff, and Tarina Nadurda. When we come back, we'll speak to the heads of Amazon Watch and Oxfam Brazil. Stay with us. Protesters chanting during Saturday's march on COP30 here in Belém. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We're broadcasting from the UN Climate Summit from the Brazilian city of Belém. It's the gateway to the Amazon. COP30 comes 33 years after the Rio Earth Summit, which established the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, the UNFCCC. Leaders and delegates from more than 190 countries have entered a second week of negotiations at the summit known as COP30. That's Conference of Parties 30. We're joined now by two guests. Leila Salazar Lopez is the executive director of Amazon Watch. She recently wrote an article headlined COP30 at the Crossroads, Indigenous Sovereignty or Climate Collapse.